Blow the horn. Let's go.
And everything that we do every day, we want to be a champion.
Get your mind right and let's go. Do the little things. Win every day.
It's so blessed to play football.
Everything with an attitude.
Alabama, you listen.
I don't give a shit who we're playing.
Young people that you're playing against and make us ask quit. That's our framework. That's our MO as a team.
Richardson breaks free on the sideline.
This is a mauling, folks, a mauling.
Fear the tide, honey badger.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast, the 2012 preseason football extravaganza. Tom, we're back talking defensive backs, and some would say this is the most questionable position given what we lost last year in Dre and Menzie and Barron and even Will Lowry. How do you, where do you want to jump in on the defensive backs? Safety, corner, take us somewhere.
I think it has to be the star position. I mean, just like I talked about Dante and Courtney with the linebackers, I mean, you know, Daquan Menzie came back and was a huge contributor as a senior. His ability to let Milner come in spot duty. I guess I don't want to call it spot duty, but depending on the situation of how many wides were there, Menzie literally came in and was your starting cornerback over Milner, who, oh, by the way, I mean, Alabama had the number one cornerback in the country in Dre, and then you recruit the other number one in the country the next year, Milner. And Menzie comes in and starts over Milner. And then, oh, by the way, I can shift down to the slot and I can be a lockdown at the money position.
Well, I break that down a little bit differently. I think that on defense we played a lot of nickelback, and when our sort of our base, and you and I have defined our base as the nickel, and it was a three corner nickel.
Yes.
And so we played a lot of snaps with Dre, Menzie and Milliner, and so I consider them all starters. And actually,
but the ability to play inside, I guess, is what I'm saying, is not everybody can play that slot. Can play that slot receiver.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I just didn't want to disparage Milliner,
right?
Because I considered him a starter at the position last year. And so why don't we just continue that line of thought on to the cornerback position? And I want to say that Milliner is one of the starters. Who starts opposite of Milliner, and then from there we can kind of bleed into the conversation around the star.
You know, there's been a lot of talk about these JUCOs and what they're going to do as far as making a run at that position, but you would have to think it's going to have to be John Fulton. I mean, you would have to think that John Fulton is, you know, from I think he's more than capable of holding on to that other corner spot.
Yeah, John Fulton is a guy that you know, and you and I even gave him a little bit of a hard time last year in some of his coverage and some of his special teams. But John Fulton is a guy who came in the freshman class with Milliner, and, 2010 when we lost a number of guys, and we had to have, we didn't have JUCOs coming in, we had to have a freshman cornerback step up and play. And Fulton and Milliner were both highly recruited. But we had to have one of them step in and play. And I think within the first days of camp, the light came on for Milliner a little bit faster, and we had to invest our time in him as opposed to Fulton. And so that's why Milliner got the run. That's why he got the play. And he had some bumps coming in and playing, gave up a long touchdown. He was out of position against Arkansas, I remember. But Fulton is a guy that's just as talented, and he has been around long enough. He knows the knows the defense. He is ready to play. I think he busts on the scene this year, and he spends a lot of time on the field, and it makes a lot of people wonder, gosh, where's this guy been? Because he has been such a quiet player. Fulton bursts on the scene this year.
Well, didn't both of these guys enroll in January of 2010? So I think both of these guys have, you know, had an extra spring under their belts. And like you said, John Fulton, I think he's a little bit small in stature compared to Milner. You know, he came in at 170 pounds, and now he's up to about 185. And so he doesn't give you that physical run-stopping presence that we saw from Dre and that we saw from Milner. So I guess the one thing about, you know, Fulton that's going to hurt him is Saban expects you to come up and play the run. And I just, you know, I think we have it with him in the pass coverage. I just don't know if we have it with him in the run stopping ability on the edges.
I think he's bulked up a little bit. I think that, you know, that's not an unfair question, but I think he's bulked up a little bit, and I think he cracks the rotation, and he spends a lot of time on the field this year.
Oh, I do think I do think he's going to be the other starter. I'm just saying I think we'll have a little bit of a drop-off that last year all our corners were very physical against the run, and I just don't think Fulton's going to be able to do that.
Well, let's talk about the JUCOs at the corner position. Saban is very strategic and bringing in junior college players, and he brought in two, realizing the weakness at the corner position. He brought in Ballou, and then he brought in Travell Dixon. And, of course, just recently, prior to the scrimmage, Dixon has left the team, and so he's no longer with the team. But we do have Ballou still with Deion Ballou. What do you think about his role with the team relative to the Milliner and the Fulton?
Well, Ballou just, you know, Nick Saban doesn't get it wrong with JUCOs. I mean, we've seen that from the left tackle position, you know, for 3 or 4 years now. Ballou just, I love his ability to be persistent and do what he has to do to get things squared away in the classroom to get back to the University of Alabama. I mean, how many guys are sign in place who you never hear from again? So the fact that this guy is supposed to be so highly touted and has really kind of stepped up his game at the JUCO level and has made his way back to Alabama after signing with them in 2010, I mean, he signed with them the same class as Fulton and Milner.
Yeah, he has been on a Homer-like odyssey. You know, he signed and then, you know, kind of at the kind of last minute had to go to junior college, thought maybe he would only be at JUCO for a year and then come back. He's one of those guys, you know, and not just one of the guys, but he is the guy very specifically. I remember in a press conference, you know, reporter asking, you know, well, what's the story with Deion Ballou? Is he gonna be back? Is he ever going to be at Alabama? And Saban just kind of shrugged his shoulders and said, you know, sometimes all we can do is all we can do, and it's up to the player, and it's up to him if he's ever going to come back. And you and I even commented that that was very dismissive, the way that Saban answered. And
we thought that was going to be the last time they were going to talk about Deion Ballou.
Right.
Yes.
And Saban answers a lot of questions dismissively, but this one to me seemed particularly dismissive of, he ain't coming back.
That was it for Ballou.
Kind of between the lines. And the fact that he is back speaks a lot of his perseverance. And the reports out of camp are just phenomenal. They talk about him, you know, potentially being one of the best cover guys that Saban's ever had. They talk about him just being a lockdown cornerback. And so if that's the case, then it's pretty clear to me that he'll start opposite Milliner. And Fulton will provide some reserve off the bench, but I think he's going to be a guy that's going to be a stud for us on defense.
So, do you think he's going to start opposite of Milner, or do you think Fulton is?
I think based going into camp, I thought it would be Fulton. Based on what I'm hearing from camp, I think that it's potentially going to be Ballou.
And didn't you even hear some stuff about a one and done?
Well, there was some talk about him just being a lockdown guy and just being one of the, you know, the potential to be one of the best cover guys that Saban's ever had, and if he does those things, that he'll be he has the potential to be a one and done player. And I'll tell you, if he does those things, I think 15's in the future, right? I mean,
well, gosh. Talk a little bit about you know, we're 5-6 minutes into this show, and we haven't even talked about Landon Collins yet. He's probably pretty pissed right about now.
Well, you know, there's some talk with Travell Dixon moving on that Landon may have some time at corner as opposed to safety. I just want to touch on Travell. Travell was one of those tall cornerbacks. He was a JUCO All-America. He was one of those guys that when we went through recruiting, in my mind, he was a must-have. We've got to have this guy.
Because of all the people we're losing.
Right, and if we don't have this guy, it's a hole in our recruiting. And so when we signed him, I was ecstatic, and we're a week into camp, and he's moving on for, you know, family reasons. You know, that's fine. Branding, I think if he were competing for a starting spot, then, you know, maybe his family problems aren't significant enough for him to have to leave the defending national title team. So I think he's moving on. I am disappointed about that, but I think that I think that speaks pretty heavily as to where he is in the pecking order. Landon Collins, I saw him more as a safety, but he's incredibly athletic, and so he may get some reps, you know, kind of in a money position or a star position. I do think he cracks the rotation. I do think he plays some this year.
Well, just kind of keeping with the safety for a little bit, you know, what do you think you're going to see from Robert Lester this year? Do you think it's going to be like his sophomore year when he thrust onto the scene and had 7 or 8 picks because nobody knew he was out there and what he could do? Or, you know, they threw away from him as a junior and so he only had a couple picks? I mean, what do you see from him and who do you think is going to be playing opposite of him?
Well, I think that picks sometimes is sort of an opportunistic. You can play very well and you can be a high-level contributor and not have a lot of picks. And so, you know, some people would consider him having a drop-off last year relative to the year before simply because of the picks. To your point, I think it had a lot to do with who's that guy I can throw his direction. And last year, less people did that. I think we're going to get from Lester what we've gotten from Lester, which is superb play. We've talked about him emerging. We've talked about him being a favorite on defense. He's won a lot of our mini game balls. And then he's almost even become ineligible for our mini game balls because he's such a high caliber contributor.
But I think a pickup in picks. I know picks is not a key. I get what you're saying.
He averages what he did the last two years. He averages what he did the last two years.
Okay.
In picks, and I'm fine with that.
Okay.
But we get out of him what we've gotten out of him, which is superb play at the position, potential first round caliber play. If he repeats that, you know, that plays at that level for a third year is a starting position. I know you and I probably have a little bit of back and forth on this one, but I think you know, based on what we saw coming out of last season, what we've seen in early fall camp. The starter opposite of Lester is either going to be Vinny or Haha, and I think it's Vinny.
Well, I'm definitely not high on Vinny. I just, you know, prove me wrong. And I just, yes, he was a special team standout, and he made some big hits on special teams. And, you know, and obviously everybody knows his pedigree and coach's son and, you know, has a lot of, you know, extra time and to study the playbook and knows it inside and out and, you know, understands where he needs to be on the field. I also think it helps that he's a former linebacker. And so losing a Mark Bear, and you and I talked about this, Saban was smart last year to swap Lester and Barron and start putting Barron next to Hightower, or excuse me, next to C.J. Mosley on those passing situations. And so the fact that Vinny is so comfortable playing at the line of scrimmage and Haha is not with the frame to play at the line of scrimmage, I think gives Vinny the nod over Haha. The fact that Haha was so highly touted and still didn't get the playing time speaks to what they think Vinny can do. I just am not as high on him as you are, but just because of where we like to put the strong safety in that formation speaks to Vinny over Haha.
Yeah, and so I think we're landing on, you know, Lester and Vinny as the two starters, but you know, Hashawn Clinton-Dix, Haha, is going to play quite a bit. We play a lot of defensive backs. We rotate a lot of guys. We flow almost seamlessly between, you know, what you would consider a base of four, what we consider our base of five,
and go to six,
and we'll go to a dime, and we'll play six defensive backs, and then you and I kind of wear this out, but we can play a safety heavy nickel or a corner heavy nickel, and so it's a nickel, but then a nickel that has two personalities, and so if we play a safety heavy nickel with Haha and Vinny, we've really got two strong safeties, and so it's almost like an extra linebacker on the field. And then you kind of line up, and it looks more like a base with four defensive backs. And so a lot of versatility in how we put players on the field, a lot of different packages. I think we're going to see a lot of that. And so if Vinny or Haha, you know, whoever's the starter, the second guy's going to get, you know, nearly as many reps, nearly as many snaps. And so I'm less interested in, the number one versus the number two, it's particularly at that position, because we're going to see both of them.
Well, I just hope that Haha can get the playbook. I mean, my concern right now for Haha is the reason Vinny got the nod last year is the same reason Will Lowry got the nod over Nick Perry and Jarrett Williams, who we haven't talked about yet, because Will Lowry knew where to be. And he was one of those guys that we're going to miss. And so as long as HaHa can get the playbook and know where he needs to be, the thought of having him in center field where Will Lowry was in the dime, I feel great about that.
Yeah,
that's an upgrade as long as he can, you know, as long as he gets it.
Athletically, it is, as long as you're right, he's in the position. And I have a high degree of confidence that he will. You know, Vinny, a coach's son, was probably breaking down, you know, film as a four-year-old. And so and it's just a second language to him almost. But HaHa, I think, is going to pick it up. You know, he's gone through, you know, definitely last year, this spring camp, this fall camp. I think that he's going to have it under him. I have to reframe how I'm asking this question. Jarrett Williams went down with a knee injury. He's out for the season. I hate to see us lose him more for his potential to contribute on special teams than the defensive back position. But I'm going to pose the question this way. Landon Collins, we talked to him about him at corner a little bit. I look at him more as a safety. Does he beat out Nick Perry for reps?
Oh, he definitely does. And when I meant talking about Landon Collins, I don't want to mess up here. I didn't mean to infer that he's going to see the field as a cornerback. I think he is. I mean, he was the number one safety prospect in the nation coming out. And so what's interesting real quick, just like we talked about at cornerback, HaHa was the number one safety coming out of the country in the country last year, and now Landon Collins is the number one strong safety coming out this year. And so, once again, Saban's getting everybody that he needs to get. But I definitely think that Landon Collins will start to – he'll make a splash on special teams like Vinny did, more so than Nick Perry. And I don't think we're going to see Nick Perry much on the field on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, probably not. Maybe some special teams. I think Jarrett Williams, and I wish him full recovery and you know, being with the team and you know, getting some training. I think that Jarrett, who was going to be a senior, and Nick Perry, a junior, and Nick Perry, who's going to be a junior as well, they both came in the same class. I think Perry provides some depth, but I think both Nick and Jarrett probably go on, you know, after spring practice next year and transfer. Just with the depth, I think we've recruited over them, if you will. There's some talk about Geno Smith, the true freshman, getting some look in some packages. What do you think about him potentially beating out Jabril Washington, who's a guy who's been around a couple of years?
You know, it's getting to a point in his in Nick Saban's cupboard that if you're going to do something, you better do something by your sophomore year. If you're not going to do something by your sophomore year, then your time is up. And I think Jabril, you know, as a redshirt, this is his second year in the system, or maybe his third year in the system. And so I think it's very possible that a Geno Smith could pass him up.
Okay. Yeah, so this is sort of a critical time for Jabril to make a move. And so we'll see how that plays out. He may indeed catch some reps, but he's got some young guys kind of nipping at his heels. So we'll see how that goes. Let's get tactical here, similar to what we've done before, talking about the defensive backs. Who are the top two leading tacklers?
Top two leading tacklers are going to be... See, that really just depends on who's that strong safety. I think Vinny's going to get the nod, unfortunately, just because of his comfort level playing linebacker. And so, as far as the position goes, I think Milner is going to be number one. And, you know, I'm going to say Milner one and Lester two. I think Vinny's probably going to be a close three.
Okay. Milner, I discount him in terms of number of tackles simply because of his position at cornerback. I'm giving the tackle nod to what I'm considering the two projected starters at safety, and so I'm going Vinny number one. He plays closer to the line, so he's more apt to get the tackles. And then Lester, I think, kind of playing that center fielder, kind of cleaning up, and he's a stud for us. I think Vinny and Lester are the two leading tacklers. INTs, we talked about that kind of being a schizophrenic stat, but who do you consider the potential two leading interception interception leaders on the defensive backfield.
I think Lester is going to come back from his, you know, two picks last year and get more of a four or five kind of number. I think he's going to be your number one guy. And I think number two is going to be Ha-Ha. I think Ha-Ha is going to play center field at that deep safety spot in that dime formation whenever we put teams on their heels and they have to throw to catch up. And I think Ha-Ha is going to take some balls.
Okay. I'm going Lester is the leading interception guy from our defensive backfield. And I'm going Ballou. I think that some teams are going to try to pick on him. Kind of the rookie corner rule in the NFL
for
fantasy guys. I think that Ballou is going to get picked on early, and he's going to make some plays. And then I just think that he's going to be athletic. And if he's as good as what we're hearing, he may be baiting some players a little bit. I think that he picks up some INTs for us. So let's nail down our confidence interval on a scale of 1 to 10. How do you rate the defensive backfield for this year's Alabama Crimson Tide?
You know, my concern is that other cornerback. I mean, I think John Fulton's is gonna probably be the guy, but you've got, you know, him battling out with a JUCO. And so I'm probably going to give him about a 7.5, you know, because I'm not as sold on Vinny as you are. I'm sold on Milner and Lester, but right now in my book, you know, two of your four – starters are gone, so I'm going to give them about a 7.5.
I'm giving the defensive backfield a 7.1. I consider this a weak link unit, and it's not so much that the individual contributors are weak links. I want to be careful that I'm not saying that. I just think the unit as a whole, if I'm a linebacker or I'm a defensive lineman and I miss my assignment, I've got a crowd of people that can help me. If I'm a cornerback and I miss my assignment, I'm alone on the island, and I may have just cost the team 7 points.
Right.
And so, because of that, relative to our experience, I'm giving this unit a lower score. I'm giving it a 7.1. We have a lot of talent, but you know, sometimes we're one step away from giving up a big play, and so I just want to factor that into my weighting. So I'm giving a 7.1.
Okay.
This has been another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast, the 2012 preseason extravaganza, breaking down the defensive backs. Come back, stay tuned for additional episodes. Roll Tide. Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just a shout out, a Roll Tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, Coach?
Aye.
Of course. Roll Tide.